But if you're a retiree of state government, and let's say you can retire at 55, because if you got enough years of service, you can. Then from 55 on until you get to Medicare, you get free health service. State pays, in effect, 100% of the premium. And that's got a liability associated with it, because it's 10 years roughly before you get to Medicare. And then the state pays the supplement. That's totally unfunded. The state pays those bills when the bills come in and the checks go out. But it's not funded, unlike the pensions. So add that $40 billion, and then over here you got pension bonds and notes, which started during the Blagojevich administration, which is basically using one credit card to pay another credit card debt. But they're all obligations of either the state or the pension funds under current policies, and they're retirement related. And the point of the previous chart and of this chart is to try to persuade you that you cannot deal with this fiscal crisis and the budget problems without addressing the retirement obligations. The retirement obligations are a huge part of it, whether you look at it in terms of an annual operating statement or in terms of the growth of these liabilities. Now, let me pause over the $79 billion of unfunded pension liability. Why is that as high as it is? Why is it not higher? The state calculates these things using, I'm not going to get you into financial theory, but I have to tell you that they calculate this using a discount rate of 8.5%. And what that means is that if you want to broadly conceptualize this, the state has all these obligations to pay present and future retirees out for the next 20, 30, 40 years certain amounts in pensions. It's got an obligation to pay Susie Jones $40,000 in 2018 and John Smith $50,000 in 2019 and so forth. But if you added up all of those estimated obligations, estimated by actuaries, and they're pretty close, you still would have things that don't add, because you can't add a dollar that's due in 2016 to one that's due in 2032. So the actuaries figure out a way to state this in meaningful terms, apples to apples. They present value all of these, basically by saying, what's the present value of all of those future obligations today? Okay? And they use an 8.5% discount rate to do that. Now, if you're a finance professor, you will instantly realize that that's the wrong rate, but that's the way Illinois does it, and that's the way many other states do it. A couple of professors at the University of Chicago and Northwestern Business School have published a paper, and I think most economists agree with them, that if you use the right discount rate to present value those liabilities, the number isn't $79 billion, it's $200 billion. That's the value of those liabilities. That's what we would have to pay a consortium of Saudi banks to take that liability off our shoulders. That's what it's worth. That's what we are carrying right now, unless this thing has changed. But whether it's 80 or $200 billion, it's enormous. Why is it that big, using either estimating approach? And the answer is twofold, essentially. One is that the state hadn't funded them right, and when our friends in organized labor give talks about this, they point that out, and they're right. The state has not funded these correctly, and that goes back to the very inception of the pension funds. There was never any pretense that the funding formulas were in accordance with actuarial standards. That was true then, it's true today. I'll show you a chart that shows how this thing has built up as a result of that. The other factor that has to be talked about, too, is that the pensions are generous. It depends on the plan. You've got five state plans and you got a whole bunch of municipal plans, and the terms are different. But if you work for the state of Illinois, you're a state employee, you can retire at the age of 55, with enough years of service, get a full unreduced pension. Almost all of the state employees, unlike teachers, get Social Security, and they get free health care. And that's very costly, because you've extended the period of time. Let's say people normally retire about 65 or 67. A pension obligation for them includes estimated life. If you can retire at 55, you've just extended that period by 10 years, and it's very costly to do that. If you work for the city of Chicago, then you can retire at 50 with enough years of service. So these things are very, very valuable and very costly. They're there for reasons that you can all guess. And the reason that this unfunded liability is so high is the costliness of it and the fact that we haven't funded it properly. And that's the heart of the state's fiscal problems, because what's happening is as the funding formula curves upward and all of these costs that were incurred in prior years are dumped onto the future, which is now, us, next year, the year after, and so forth, the funding requirements go up and they are crowding out a lot of things that a lot of people think are very important. They're crowding out funding for universities, for K-12 education, for libraries, for social service agencies. The state's budget, you probably all know this, but it's worth saying, the state's budget is a big funnel, and the money goes to a lot of things other than state employees. If you wiped out all of state employees and the salaries and the pensions and the benefits that go with it, you might reduce the state's budget by in the range of $4 billion a year. But they spend about $27 billion a year, and much of that goes to local governments, much of it goes to social service agencies, a lot of it goes to K-12, a lot of it goes to the universities. And those things are going to get crowded out as the need to fund the pensions goes up, particularly if they're not reformed. What does that mean for average citizens? I can go through these pretty quickly. The retirement liabilities alone add up to about $25,000 per Illinois household. And when you think about that, a lot of Illinois households don't pay taxes, so the $25,000 is an average for all households. Let me look quickly at the next one. I said earlier that these pensions weren't related to actuarial reality. We reformed the pension system back in 95 when people realized that it was getting serious. And back in 98, which is the first number I put up on here, but you can see the trend line, the underfunding in 98 was about $14 billion. And that was because up until then, the funding hadn't been adequate. And it continued not to be adequate, and as a result, the unfunded pension liability has grown each year since, to the point where it's now over here at 2009, and this year it's going to be about $80 billion. And by the way, this includes the pension bonds, so add about $13 billion more to my $80. But you can see what's happened, and the reason is because it's not because of the collapse of the economy in 2008. You can see how it jumped in 2008. But it was a big problem back in 2006. We put out our first report on this stuff in 2006, before the collapse of the economy. We were shocked, our business guys were shocked to look at the 2006 numbers and see that we had unfunded liabilities of $44 billion, and to realize what that implied for the state's budget. This is a problem that was built into the funding at the beginning. It was allowed to grow. We're not a partisan organization, and I frankly don't think that any one party or any one group of people is responsible for it. Everybody involved in state government has some responsibility for this. So what do you do about it? Let me show you one other one. I can pass over it pretty quickly. The Pew Foundation did a study, which it announced the results of earlier in the year. It shows that Illinois, as of the last point when we had comparable data, which is a couple of years ago, was the worst in the country in terms of underfunding. Other states have this problem too. They're well advertised, but Illinois, in terms of the funding ratio, are the worst, which means it's the hardest to dig out of the hole. It's hurt our credit ratings. This makes it more costly for the state to borrow money. Again, I can pass over it pretty quickly. Civic Foundation did a study, came out a week or so ago, and concluded that the extra costs of carrying our debt this year are probably $500 million or so higher than they would be as a result of the concerns about Illinois' credit. We got various magazines that talk about how attractive or unattractive we are to do business. What do you do about it? And I realize that your time is limited. We got this problem, in my view, because it's unattractive to cut things that people count on, whether they're university students or university administrators or K-12 teachers or social service agencies or mayors. You don't want to cut anything because somebody's going to get hurt, and there's always a good reason why that hurt shouldn't be inflicted. On the other hand, raising taxes is unpopular. Nobody wants to do that either. They got to run for office someday. So we don't do either. As a result, we allow these problems to grow, and how do we cover it? We borrow or we ignore. Those are the two categories. We've borrowed a lot of money to pay operating expenses, which a business would never do, and we've tucked some of these obligations off in footnotes of financial statements and haven't even recorded them, like the unfunded pension obligations and the retiree health. So there is no easy way out. There is no painless way out. if we reform the pensions in a way which protects completely the rights of people who have retired and the rights that people have